go to Hebrews chapter 2.
And we'll hope to be an encouragement to you this morning. The book of Hebrews is a meaty book. It's not a book of milk and milk toast. It's a book of meat, and it's a book that can be easily misconstrued, misinterpreted, if you're not reading it in context and in harmony with the other scriptures, and that's important. We find, of course, the book of Hebrews, the audience is who? Who's the audience? The Hebrews, right? The Jews. Within the book of Hebrews, as you study it, you come to recognize that there are three distinct groups of Hebrews or Jews that are being spoken to here. And the one are the Jews that are steeped in Judaism, that are not Christians, that they're steeped in their religion, and they don't see Christ as Messiah. And so that's one group. The second group are Hebrew Christians, those that have actually repented and put their faith in Jesus as Messiah, and you see them addressed especially in chapter 3. But the third group is the one that we see here addressed in chapter 2, and it's that group of Hebrews that intellectually understand that Christ is Messiah, but have yet to come to that place of repentance, where they turn from their way, their dead works, as is spoken of later on in the book, and turn to Christ, and put all their faith in Him, turning from their way, their efforts, and putting their faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so they have a head knowledge, but they lack a heart understanding. They lack a repentant heart. And that's important to understand as we embark on reading and studying this book. So if you would, let's stand together and let's read verses 1 through 4 of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'll read aloud. Would you follow along in your Bibles with me? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The writer of Hebrews says this, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your grace, and may I, Lord, I need your help to preach this morning. We all need your help. We need your grace, Lord, to receive the message you have for us. And as we study this book, Lord, while there are some concepts and precepts here that are meant for those who are not believers, there are some real important lessons for us that are. And I want to pray. I want to pray for anyone here today, whether it be one of our children, maybe even an adult who is clinging to a false sense of salvation. Lord, I pray that they would understand what it truly means to be born again. Lord, that we would recognize how great our salvation is. And Lord, what an honor it is to be saved, to be Lord, to be born again. I do pray. I pray you be with our brothers and sisters. I pray especially for Sister Theora, as she's in the hospital. Just help her body. May it recover, Lord. And I pray you be with the Dickinsons, Lord. That you give them safety. Bless their time with friends and family. And I pray they come away rested and just Lord, encouraged. And I pray, Lord, especially you be with us this morning. Father, we would just be exhorted and edified. And Lord, we come away stronger as believers. Lord, glad to have spent some time together in worship and in the study of your word this morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Chapter 1 is all about establishing the focus of the book of Hebrews. The fact that the word from God was given through Jesus Christ. Before time, it had been given by the prophets. God had spoken through the prophets. And even to some degree had manifested himself through angels in the Old Testament. But now in these last days in the New Testament, and even since, has manifested himself through his Son, has spoken to us through his Son. This is simply You could liken it to the way the book of Hebrews does this in chapter 1, to the way John does so in his first chapter when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God," right? All things were made by Him. It's almost the exact same theme, the exact same concept as given here in Hebrews chapter 1. We know that God the Son took on human form, rather, that He might be God's final decisive word to the world. That everything that God had, everything that God had given us up to that time had pointed to Jesus Christ, had pointed to salvation, had pointed to the Messiah, and that certainly Jesus Christ had earned that, being our sacrifice, being the full payment, had purged our sins. The fact that all the fullness of God is in Jesus. The fact that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Jesus. Everything that we study is to point us to Jesus Christ. And we are to keep our eyes upon Him. As spoken of in Hebrews chapter 12. God's final word is Jesus Christ. He is the heir of all things. He made the world. He is the brightness of the glory of God. He is the exact representation of the nature of God. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And He is greater than any angel. Why? Because angels worship Him. And He is the mighty God. Now we come to chapter 2. And we find an exhortation here in chapter 2. I believe the audience is those who have a knowledge, an intellectual understanding of Jesus, of the gospel, but have yet to be convinced that they need to repent, turn from their way, and fully trust Jesus Christ. You see in verse number 1, essentially the command found in chapter 2 is this: listen. Listen. If you read verse 1, he says what? Therefore. Now, when you see the word therefore in the Scripture, you have to consider what comes before. All right? Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The writer of Hebrews takes a moment and says, now listen. In the old times, we were spoken to, God spoke to us by the prophets. He has used His angels to deliver messages in the old times. But in these last days, He has spoken to us, unto us by His Son. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. He says we ought to pay even greater attention to what Christ has manifested to us, lest at any time we should let them slip. We should listen to what Christ says because He is the creator and sustainer and owner and ruler and redeemer of the world. How important it is to hear Him, to pay much closer attention to the things He has said. We must give earnest heed to the Word of God as manifested through His Son. If you could boil down these two chapters, you could come to this. Number one, God has spoken to us by His Son. And for this reason, we must pay closer attention to this word which He has spoken. He's not just sent a messenger. He's not just sent holy men. He's not just sent an angel. He sent His Son. And that's pretty important. His only begotten Son to speak to us. We need to listen. Brother Matt, do you mind taking a look and make sure everything's... Is that the bathroom or the door? Can you just take a look? So we come to verse 1 of chapter 2. I believe the audience is those who have an intellectual understanding of the New Testament gospel. So there's two principles, I think, at play here, two that can be applied. Number one, the first is that to these intellectuals, to these Jews who had a head knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Messiah, but have yet to come to that place of heart knowledge, right, of repentance to say, I turn my back on my Old Testament ways, on my thought that works is saving me, and I need to turn to God's final sacrifice for sin. I need to trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah of God. Now, the important thing is that what the writer of Hebrews is trying to say is that it is important, because if you don't, you could let it slip. The word picture at play is this. It's sort of as a boat. Anybody ever driven a boat or piloted a boat? All right, Sister Vanessa. Andrew has. Anybody else? Elizabeth, you have piloted a boat? I guess we let you drive the boat, didn't we? Anybody else ever piloted a boat? Brother Matt, you ever piloted a boat? A smaller one. Brother Robert has. All right. What's the biggest difference between driving a car or a bike and a boat? Okay, that's one, how you steering it. But even more so. Okay. Yeah, but think about it. So the actual act of driving, that's one thing. But you can with a car, yeah? There's that too. I'm not trying to give you a hard time, but what I'm trying to look at is, you ever try to stop a boat? One thing, so we've had the opportunity to go out where we bought the rental house and actually vacation out there, right? And with our family. And one last year, was it? Or year before, we rented a boat, a speedboat. Oh boy, was it fun. You know, get that thing going 55, 60 miles an hour, especially when we put the tube behind it and put Andrew and Elizabeth on it. And they're, woo, sailing through the air. You know, and all I hear is, ah, you know, screams. And to watch that thing flip in the wind and them go flying off never brought such joy to my heart as a father. Anyway, you know, we rented that boat and boy, what fun it was. You know, we get out there in the water and boy, we would go at times where it was just empty. We like to go when there's nobody there because not really much interest in all the nakedness and all that garbage that goes along being by the water. And so we're out there and the lake is wide open. We can go wherever we want and really there's no one else out there to disturb. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going good. And for the first little while, I would go and I would think, you know, I'm going to go and I want to go there. And I quickly learned that if you wanted to get to a certain place and stop, you really had to give it some thought. You had to really be very careful, right? Pay earnest attention and heed to the direction of the water and the speed by which you drove that boat, right? Piloted that boat. Because if you didn't, what would happen? You'd go right by. Or you'd go too far and you'd run into the shore. Now, I would think that doing and piloting a boat on a lake would be easier than in a river or an ocean, right? Because in a lake, generally, you don't have tides as far as, you know, a lot of waves. But in a river, you've got what? Right. You've got that river is moving, isn't it? And sometimes if it's a big enough river or fast-running river, that water can move very quickly. And I could imagine, I've never piloted a boat, you know, I like canoes and stuff, but never like a speedboat on a river. I could imagine the challenge to get that boat sidled up to, say, the pier, to anchor it, to get to that place where it needs to be. And I believe that's the word picture that we find here in chapter 2, verse 1, is that the writer of Hebrews is saying, you need to pay attention to what is being said because you could miss the pier. You could go past that place of no return. We've had the opportunity as a child and even as an adult to visit Niagara Falls. Anybody ever been to Niagara Falls? This is amazing. Niagara Falls, of course, you've all seen pictures, right? Just beautiful in its presentation. It's just amazing. We went, 3 years ago? I'm trying to think. When was it? 3 years ago, I think, we went. And we actually went down in the Maiden of the Mist where they actually take you, you know, right the outside of the rocks where the, you know, and boy, you just get just all kinds of water. You know, and boy, you look at that thing and say, I'd hate to be in a boat because Where does that water come from? It comes from a river, right? Now, what's interesting is if you go upriver from the falls, the water's a little choppy, right? Especially when you get close to the falls. But the further you go upriver, the more like a regular river it is. If you had no clue that Niagara Falls just lied a mile downriver, you would think it was just like any other river. And the danger of hearing the message of God would be similar to someone who had a boat on that river. Right? Could you imagine the first explorers? Right? I mean, here you are, you're going down the river, you better hit the dock. Because there's certainty of death ahead. And when it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to salvation, you better not miss the boat. You better not miss the dock. You better not let things slip. You better pay close attention. And when it comes to salvation, the exhortation found here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, is you better listen, lest you miss the mark. Unless you let things slip. Unless you go adrift and are unable to make it back to a place of safety, which is found in Jesus Christ. Boy, what an admonition for us today. I hope that you're saved. But I never want to make just, I don't ever want to make the mistake of assuming. Because really, when it boils down to it, certainly we can look at your life, we can try to understand and see the fruit of salvation in your life, but when it really boils down to it, it's something that you and God know. Are you? Listen to me, young people. Are you saved? Think of your life as a boat adrift in a fast-running river. And you know what? At the end of the river are a couple things, either destruction or safety. You better anchor yourself to Jesus. You better listen to what he says. You better not ignore the message of the gospel. Because as he goes on in verses 2 and 3, he says what? He says, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense." Everything was punished. How shall we, what, escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That's why I don't believe this is written to believers, because someone who's already saved cannot neglect salvation because you've already received it. We can neglect other things, certainly. We can neglect God's grace. We can neglect God's word. We can neglect other things. But once someone has truly received the salvation of God, there's not the ability to neglect. You're a new creature in Christ. Certainly, how horrible to neglect so great a salvation, a victorious salvation, a vicarious salvation, a voluntary salvation. It is a great salvation. I'll talk more about that here in the coming weeks. But understand this, it is important that we listen. Come on in. Come on in, you're willing to join us? Have a seat. We're in Hebrews chapter 2. Understand this, that we must ourselves as believers listen. Are you listening today? It's important that you do. God has given us His Word. God has spoken to us by His Son. And you know what? It's incumbent on us to listen. Your parents ever said, open your ears and listen. A little less of this, right? A little more of this. Shut your mouth, right? Be quiet. Listen. Boy, I tell you, it's a lost art today, isn't it? The ability to listen. We're listening to a lot of things, aren't we? We're not careful. I find myself, boy, I get so distracted sometimes. I'll listen to the radio and television and, you know, things on the internet. We'll listen. You know, we like to listen. We like to hear what's being said. Maybe a new novel is being published or a new book, and we like to listen to what that author has said. We might read other things, but how often and how important is it to us that we listen to God, that we listen to His Word as revealed to us by His Son? How good at listening are you? How necessary it is to listen. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. You're already there. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. There should be a little black Bible. There you go. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. The writer of Hebrews says this: "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider what? The apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." In essence, what's he saying? Consider Jesus. Listen to what he has to say. Now, go if you would. And that's the point of it. Indeed, listen to him. Consider him. Focus on him. Stay close to him. May every thought, may we keep him in our thoughts. Let us learn more and more from him every day. Are you listening to Jesus? Are you hearing what he has to say? Is your life in alignment with his will? Is your life in alignment with his word? Are you growing closer and more like him every day? Hebrews chapter 12. Since you're there, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verses 1 and 2. Right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, by itself, that's sound, man. Let's run that race. Let's live for God. But what are we to do as we run this race? Verse 2. Looking unto whom? Jesus. We need to look to him. We need to listen to him. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Indeed, one of the great burdens of this book will be for us in understanding how serious it is to listen to Jesus, the Word of God, to consider Jesus, to fix our eyes upon him. It is the very first command of this book. Listen to Jesus. Listen to him. These are not hard things to do. They're only hard if we don't want to do them. They're only hard if we have other things that we wish to do. The first command of this book was not labor for Jesus. It's look to Jesus. Indeed, he has not commanded us to work for him, but to watch him. We know that all of our life changes. That which grows us spiritually comes from that. Let me just read you a scripture, all right? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image." What image? The image of Jesus Christ. "From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." God's will is for us, when we are saved, to begin a path of transition in becoming like Jesus Christ. And it is to last until the day that we are taken home to heaven. From glory to glory, we are changed into the same image. What image? The image of our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, and so the one message, certainly, the base message here, is to those who intellectually understand who Jesus is, understand what the gospel says, but have yet to repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. They to go from knowing to believing. But with the heart, where does belief happen? The heart. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. With the what? Heart, man believes. What a sad state of affairs to neglect so great salvation. May I say this to you? The second lesson is this, certainly for those that are lost. If you're neglecting salvation, if you're failing to really give earnest heed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to understand what it means, oh, I implore you today, come to know Jesus Christ. Repent. That's a word you don't hear much used. Repent is a change of heart, a willingness to turn from your way, from your sin, to Jesus. What a blessing. when someone experiences that repentance and sees that in their lives. The second lesson here is for us as Christians, we need to listen. I was going to entitle the message, I thought it was a little crass, but shut up and listen. But that's a little crass, that's not me. Don't put that as the title, Andrew. I'm bound to get emails on that one. We need to listen. We need to listen to him. Why? Because listening to him ensures that we get to experience the fullness of our salvation. Amen? See, salvation is much more than being saved from hell, is it not? Certainly, that's the basics of it, isn't it? I am saved from hell. I deserve hell. I have broken his law over and over again. And if he were to sentence me to death today, to hell, I would deserve it. And I earned it. Salvation says, even though I deserve that, I have purification of sins through Jesus Christ. I've pardoned for sins. But there's an idea of the fullness of salvation. And you know what that means? It means getting to experience all the blessings of salvation. Understanding what it means to be a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, to recognize God as our Father. Boy, I tell you, we need to pay attention. We need to listen to him. We need to experience, not neglect, all that God has for us because of salvation. You want to grow as a Christian? Listen to Jesus. Follow Jesus. Be not just hearers of the word, but doers as well. As well, those that fail to listen are headed for destruction. Negative in both senses. For those that are lost, destruction in hell. You fail to listen to the gospel, you will spend eternity in hell. The Bible says that you are today condemned without Jesus Christ. You're dead man walking. You're on death row. It's the truth. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's what the Bible says. John chapter 3, challenge you to look it up. We all know verse 16, but 17 and 18 are just as important. Christians, while we can never be sent to hell because of what Christ has done for us, certainly, we can see our lives destroyed. We can see our lives even set on a shelf. We can see ourselves the object of chastisement, intent on destroying their lives because they won't listen to the Lord. It's amazing. We spend a lot of time listening to those that we respect, right? Family, friends, God forbid Dr. Phil or some clown like that, right? Why don't we listen to the one who created us? Why don't we listen to the one who made us? Seems like he would have the answers, don't you? Right? But I've seen Christians, it seems, intent on destroying their lives. Intent on being less than what God intended them to be. Why? Because they don't really want to listen to what Jesus says. They don't want to listen to what's preached from the Word. They want to do their own thing. They want to go their own way. They want to live their own lives. When you got saved, it didn't cease to be about you. It became all about Him. Are you listening? I want to stress this. Find God's will. Do God's will. Listen to Jesus. Right? Look to Jesus. Consider the Lord. May I say to you this, in consideration of these things, the danger of drifting away from the Word of God, what danger there is, I should say, in drifting away from the Word of God's promise in Jesus Christ. One last scripture before we get ready to close. Go to Psalm 90, verse 14. Psalm 90, verse 14. The psalmist writes this, and he says, and this is interesting, this psalm is written by Moses, all right? It's not a psalm of David. It's one of those unique psalms that are not written by David. Psalm 90, verse 14, Moses writes, "O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. There's a danger of not being satisfied by the love of God. Not really seeing Christ as sufficient in our lives and seeking something else. Moses was one acquainted, well acquainted with this type of attitude. Think about it. While he was there with the Israelites, what was their problem the whole time? Have you led us out into this wilderness to kill us? Did we not get to eat leeks and garlics? And did we not have everything we wanted in Egypt? God sends manna, God sends quail, and yet they what? Complain and gripe and murmur and moan. We need to listen to Jesus and we need to be satisfied with Him. Because that is the secret to abiding. To not seeking anything else. To be satisfied with what God has called us to do. To be content to be what God has called us to be. I challenge you. I challenge you. I'm dissatisfied, Pastor. Why? Generally, it's not because there's something lacking in Christ. Rather, we have gotten our eyes upon something that He never intended for us to have or be, or we have allowed the devil to lie, and we are not listening to him. We find ourselves discontent. It happens. It's human nature. People become discontent with their marriages, don't they? Men look at pornography, and it sets unrealistic expectations. It's not real. Women read romance novels, right? And so what happens? They grow dissatisfied because they say, why isn't my husband like that? I mean, in a marriage, we do that in our relationships. We do that with the Lord. You know what, brothers and sisters? We ought to look to Jesus Christ and we ought to listen to Him and we ought to experience His love and forever be satisfied. As Moses writes here in verse 14, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. There should never be a place, there should never be a spot where we lack the ability to rejoice and be glad in Jesus. Because we're listening to Him. We're content with Him. And we are content with the salvation He has provided us. And anything else is just gravy. Amen. So there's a two-pronged message here today. Number one, if you're without Jesus Christ, you may understand the gospel. You may have a head knowledge of what God has to say about who Jesus is. But I'll tell you, it's not just knowing it. It's experiencing it. It's belief. It's repentance and faith. It's turning from your way. It's finally saying, you know what? I'm done with my way. I'm done with what I think. I simply trust in what Jesus Christ says. I agree with what God has already established. But the second lesson is this. Are you listening to Jesus today? Are you looking to Him? Or has your eyes been drawn to other things and you've grown dissatisfied? Ooh. Ooh, like Eve. The very first thing in the garden. Remember? Eve could eat of any tree. God said, have at it. This whole perfect garden is yours. But instead of listening to God, instead of being content with what He had provided, her eyes were drawn to what? Oh, the one thing that God is withholding from us. And we know how that ends up, don't we? Come on now. And we're critical. Boy, that old Eve, what a ding-dong. Honestly, we probably would have done the exact same thing. Look to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Be satisfied with what He has done. Recognize, you know what? To be discontent
is a wicked heart of unbelief. It's certainly not a heart of faith. Lord, I'm content with whatever you have for me. I'm content with what you've done with me. And I rejoice and I am glad. I want to be glad all my days.
Listen. A little less of this. And a little more of this. Amen.
Let's pray.
As we bow our heads and close our eyes, I challenge you this morning with two questions. Number one, are you saved? Well, I know, but have you come to that place of belief in the heart where you have turned from your way, from your sin, and turned to Jesus Christ? And I ask this question both of young or old, both of an adult, both of children. Are you saved today? If you died today, do you know you didn't? Are you a child of God? Second question is this, Christian, are you listening? Are you looking to Jesus? Are you content with salvation that God has provided you? Embrace it. Love it. May He be in our thoughts every day. May He be the one we look to and we love and we listen to. Father, I ask that you would bless this time. Lord, as I have delivered a word of exhortation, it requires a response. And the response can be one of two things. Number one, it can be, you know, I think pastor is just, you know, we can ignore it. We can just set it aside. Or Lord, it can earnest heed to Christ. And I see my life slipping. I see myself drifting past. I don't want it to be that way. I want to throw my anchor. And I want to be anchored to the rock. May we be that way, I pray, Father. And Lord, may we leave this place being challenged in heart and soul to consider where we stand with you in our relationship. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, He is so wonderful. We look forward to His return. But I pray until that day that you would find us faithfully looking to Him, living for Him, listening to Him, enjoying the fullness of the salvation we have through Him. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anything before we go today? I want to share one thing before we leave. I know I'm just a little over time. The Bible says we come together to be exhorted. I found an interesting definition for the word exhortation. I've always called it strong encouragement. But exhortation is unique in one sense. Is exhortation requires a response. It's not enough just to hear it. What am I going to do with it? Amen. I hope you come to church not just to hear, not just to be seen, not just because it's the right thing to do, but come to say, you know what, I'm going to be exhorted today. How will I respond? And that ought to be our goal. Amen. Amen. All right. Is there anything before we dismiss today? Let's keep our brothers and sisters in prayer, of course, the Dickinsons as they travel, Sister Theora, she's in the hospital, and as well as others that couldn't be here, Gunter and Greta, of course, you know, Greta getting closer to that date, it's sure challenging. I know she's, being a first baby, it's always a little harder, you know. So pray for them, and pray for Zach and Elizabeth as well. They did get water and electric to their mobile place, so that's a blessing. They're, amen. All right, if there's nothing, let's be dismissed. We'll see you tonight, if you're able, 6 o'clock.